You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on February 14, 2024, and is titled Missionary. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
The fruitfulness of the Christian life is a narrow road of following the leading of the Holy Spirit, who never deviates from the Word. That's just the truth. And so as we continue to do this stuff, you find us being a little bit different, a little Wednesday night gig, and yeah, we've got a Sunday morning gig, and a little Tuesday morning gig. So we've got some gigs, and we like getting in a pile. But if you hadn't noticed, we don't have all the trappings all the time. Like, I never know if we're going to have music. I can't remember the last time we had a potluck. I mean, nothing against it. It's all good. I like hanging out. How many of y'all had to drive over 20 miles to get here? Yeah, so you can't be running over here all the time. Just every time that we need to kind of get together and hang out and get our fuzzies. No, you can't do that. And we got a lot of people on that screen right there. But this fellowship is not about that. This fellowship is about going outside and being fruitful. We are losing our inheritance. And we talk about that a lot. We're going to hear from missionaries in Africa. How many missionaries you know we got in America? Yeah, we need some. Yeah. Well, I'm going to speak to about 400 tonight that need to volunteer. Now, if you'll just say a few things like that, there's some people can find someplace else to get. There are a lot of places that are way more user-friendly than this one. But listen, I want to just prelude this tonight. Because this is a pretty special night. And if you're here tonight, I bet none of you are here tonight because you just thought you needed to go to church. I'm going to bet somewhere in here you've been drawn and you're drawn again. And you're going to hear some things tonight. And you're probably going to hear it a little different than you've heard it all the time. But one of the reasons we do what we do, and it all seems to be like, man, we run in here and do it, and then we're gone. And we run in and do it, and then we're gone. And then about once a month, the head duck, he's gone, and everybody's gone. Because we're doing. And it's our everyday life. We go on doing a horse sale for 5 days in Leveland. That's how we make a living, because that's how we support our mission field. That's our mission. Guys in cowboy hats is my mission. Yeah, I got a mission to try to hit y'all in the hind end with a spiritual hot shot every now and then, but my personal mission, there's a lot of lost guys walking around in cowboy hats, but there's less than there was 28 years ago, and we're going to keep fighting the good fight and keep doing what we do, and I'm going to tell you, you can't do it until you get amongst them. You got to get amongst them. You got to get amongst people that don't believe like you. You got to get amongst people that don't sound like you, don't act like you, don't do anything like you would normally do it, and you got to go get amongst them. And every one of us has to, we get amongst them every day. Why would the mentality of America deviate more from God and the Word of God every day? When we're this great Christian nation that has a church on every corner, or at least one on every block. You go to Arkansas, they got one on every corner. We have a lot of churches, but there's only one church. There's one church. That's the children of God who dwell in the kingdom of God now, and the kingdom of God dwells in them. And that church has been called by God to forcefully advance the kingdom. You don't advance the kingdom with real estate. You advance the kingdom with born-again believers. And we've been given a responsibility for that. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. So it's going to be fun with Casey and them. They get up here and tell us what they're going to tell us here in just a minute. So anyhow, I'm going to get them up here in just a minute because we don't have the Murphs. And I forgot my harmonica, so thank God we're just going to skip that part tonight. But here, let's pray, and then we'll get them up here. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight for, first of all, first loving us, letting us experience your presence, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, and your unconditional love. That, Lord, that we could be born again. That we could be sanctified by your Holy Spirit, set apart for your purposes. So, Lord, give us ears to hear tonight and a willing spirit to sustain us. Lord, speak to each one of us as an individual tonight. Let this be personal tonight. That, Lord, we could find a way into the fullness of you, Jesus, and the fullness of your fruitfulness in our everyday lives. So, Lord, we give you praise and glory today, tonight. We share your word, share testimony. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you gave your life as a ransom for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're our Heavenly Father who guardians over us and intervenes in our lives every day, who brings the moisture and the provision, who brought us the gospel of hope. Lord, we're Americans. Nobody needs hope any worse than we do. So, Lord, I just pray tonight that we'll all just take this serious as a one-time event to hear from you. So we thank you, Jesus. Give you praise, Jesus. Amen. Oh, there you go. Hey, how about one more praise offering for these guys? You never know exactly what the Lord is completely up to, but Casey and I talked a couple weeks ago. I think it was a couple weeks. And we've been, you know, if you're regular here, like Tuesday morning, Wednesday night, a lot of the daily stuff I do, it's all real life. Like, put your britches on one leg at a time. My struggles are your struggles. Trying to find my spot, trying to find my peace, trying to find my purpose still goes on with me now. 28 years later, I'm still growing and doing. The conversation we had the other day was in the middle of part of my a new phase in my life. It seemed like for the last few years, I'm a patriot, so it gets real easy to stay on the battlefield, and you fight for your country, and you fight against evil, and you fight against ignorance and everything else. And if you're not careful, pretty soon you're going to preach mad. If you're not careful, you're going to live mad. If you're not careful, you'll monkey around and get hard. And so you guys have watched me stand up here and work through a lot of that. And that's the only gift I got to give. A little interpretation of the Bible, leading of the Holy Spirit, and then show you the mess of my life and let you see what God's doing in it. And say, hey, I'm a guy who's just trying to get up in the morning. I want to live fruitful. I want to see something at the end of the day, or at least at the end of my life. I want to make a change, and I want to make a difference. And so forever, my mentality was, you know, Robin and I do this, and we don't want anything for it. We were told to do this 21 years ago. Same way you don't go to Africa. You know, if somebody else tells you to go to Africa, you're going to turn around and come back after a while. We do plenty of that. There's plenty of that. Plenty of people that watch a video and get inspired and dive off into something and realize they're swimming in somebody else's pond. And here in a minute, they jump out. I mean, there's a lot of that goes on, and it's part of life. I mean, if you don't make a few mistakes, you're not going to learn anything. And then there's a few along the way, and I hope every one of you get the opportunity to experience this, where God says, go do this. And you don't know what it looks like. You barely know what it sounds like. You have no idea what you're doing. But you go do it. And so forever, God told us to come to Muleshoe, you know, but 21 years ago. And we've just been self-supportive through this whole thing. And so there's times in this, and the reason I'm telling you all this tonight, because I think tonight's a really special night for a few people in here, and hopefully everybody. But through all that, it gets really difficult. Because you don't know if you're a fish or fowl. You don't know if you're a horse sale auctioneer, if you're a preacher. Then you try to conform to what people think you should be. And here in a minute, you want to throw them keys up in the air and hope somebody runs under them. You want to go somewhere else. You want to do something else. And you can't escape it. You got to stay put. And then finally, after a couple of seasons, you begin to realize the bigger picture of it all. See, forever, people called me pastor and I told you to quit it. You called me reverend and I really made you quit it. You just know one thing. If somebody walks up and says, hey, Pastor Steve, you know they want something. If they call you reverend, you know they want to argue about something. But I told you, I said, just quit it. And so, because I never fit any of that. What I am, what I'm beginning to realize, and my visit with Casey the other day was right in the middle of me figuring this out. And I told him, I said, you come, but I said, there's something, I'm going to have to say something that night. In the Bible, where we're at in the Bible in Colossians, is right on top of this. Very subject. I'll read a little out of this. We're going to camp out there for a little bit, for a couple weeks, because I don't think this is something you just blow through and everybody tries to digest. But I realize now that I'm a steward. You see, that word has been so misused. And so in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 19, he said, for it pleased the Father in him, that in him, talking about Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. That gift of reconciliation and that calling, that ministry of reconciliation. But then let's go, I'm not going to hang out here too long because I got, we won't have time and I got to make a point. But then skip on down to verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And the ministry has been hidden from the ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Scripture verses prior to that, he says, of the word of the God of glory, and he talks about the hope of the gospel, of which I became a minister. He's not a minister for. He's a minister of the hope of the gospel. Every man, woman, and child that has experienced the overwhelming born-again experience of the clothing in Christ, in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the forgiveness of our sins and being reconciled to God, we understand at least a little bit the hope of the gospel. If we know the hope, then that hope has to be shared. Because the worst thing that can happen to a human is to lose hope. When you lose hope, there's nothing else. And he said, I'm a minister of that hope. I'm not a minister for the Cowboy Methodist organization. I'm not a minister. I'm not a minister for Mule Shoe Fellowship. I'm a minister of. I'm not a minister for. And the only reason I became a steward, he said, for you, for the fullness of God to be revealed, I've been given stewardship. My entire Christian life, and prior to that, when we'd go to church, the only way I ever heard stewardship preached was in the false message of the tithe, the manipulation of men to the pocketbooks of others, all for the survival of the organization, when God is my provider. God, anything God calls me to, he'll equip me for, and he'll provide. He will always provide. Always. If God owns your soul and he owns your mind and your body, I promise you he owns your checkbook. No man has to tell you the methods and all the stuff of stewardship. Stewardship. I remember the first few months I was born again, and we were going to a denominational church up there in Canyon, and all I heard the first 3 months I went there was about stewardship, because we were in the third phase of the building campaign. I didn't know squat about the kingdom of God. I had met Jesus in the cab of my pickup, and I was trying to figure him out, and all I knew was people that knew Jesus wanted my money. And I saw the very same thing happen to a pile of my friends. Cowboy Ministries would want to come to the sale barn and sell their CDs and promote their stuff, and always had a feed bucket. Well, I'm feeding you, y'all feed me. Yeah, well, we should have fed them the same amount they fed us. They'd have had to get a J-O-B too. Yeah, this is stewardship. What if we today, right now, today, let's turn this around. Because Paul never said anything about the money. Paul said, I wake tents, I work, I labor with my hands in order to be a burden to no one. What if we began to claim ownership of the stewardship that we've been given? But you can't be a steward until you become a missionary. Paul was first a missionary. Until you're a missionary, well, we got such a screwed up idea of missionaries that we think you're going to be a missionary, you got to be like these guys. How many of you guys, and I can tell by looking at your face here in a minute, because I was one of them, I did not want to give my life to Jesus because I did not want to go to Zambia. Yeah, Lord, there's a pile of us in here as men. I don't want to do all that. Crud, I didn't even want to go to Mule Shoe. Yet here we are, a steward. You can't be a steward until you become a missionary. Paul was a missionary who projected the hope of the gospel, and people became believers. And they became villages of believers. And he began to promote the fullness of Christ to the body of Christ, that they too would go out and be missionaries until they became stewards. Here's the downfall. We couldn't even be stewards of our own homes. We wanted the preacher to do it, or the Sunday school teacher, or the youth director, and all those. I'm glad for all that, I think, maybe. I don't know. I'm still trying to decide. Well, we did some good. You know what? I'm tired of doing some good. I want to do a lot of good. Well, you know, one got saved. Good. I read in my book one day where 3,000 of them did it. I'm still waiting. But no, we always have stewardship campaigns. I would like to roll the clock back 28 years where I stood there and I lied in front of a church group one day about my faithfulness to stewardship. I made promises I couldn't keep because I wanted to fit in and I wanted to do right by God and blah, 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 blah. I'd like to go back and just put my arm around that little preacher and say, hey, let's have a stewardship campaign, but let's come back in 6 months and let's bring all the people in our lives with us for a potluck dinner that we have touched with the gospel of hope. Would be the same amount we got tonight? It's a great question. It's pretty amazing that we have meetings and we don't have stewards. Nobody went to phase two. How did you fill football stadiums for 40 years with Billy Graham and George Beverly Shea and acres and acres of people coming to Christ, and America got dumber? Well, heaven got fuller. Really, really. This expansion of the kingdom happens here. It doesn't happen anywhere else. It happens here. Stop me anytime I'm not preaching correctly. It's supposed to happen here. So I want to share with you a testimony of a guy who has struggled. A guy who's really good at smiling, really good at being happy, really good at stepping around, really good at praying. A guy who can give testimony of miracle upon miracle, dead people getting up, the whole nine yards. A guy that's played the whole deal and it's all been for real. But he struggled. Because the whole time I thought I did the horse sale thing, you know, I kind of knew there's a lot going on, and I know I got a place, but COVID really helped me with this. But I was busy paying my own way to do this. And I was prideful in it. Paying my own way to do this. You see, you guys are really generous, and so is this outfit. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we always have plenty. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can always get rid of it. That's all good. But I was struggling. And the reason I'm telling you this tonight, because I know there are men listening to me right here tonight that still struggle. We go to the Bible studies. We come to the fellowship. We go back to work. We're trying to find our place. We want to be men. I'm going to pick on the men again tonight because I just don't know how to preach like a woman. My feminine side sucks now, I'll just tell you. I was all the way to the sale barn today before I realized it was Valentine's Day. Praise God, I'm married to the perfect woman. I called her and I said, honey, I forgot it was Valentine's Day. She said, oh, shoot, I did too. We're perfect together. But it's hard because we've been told to come in here, sit down, be nice. For God's sakes, act like a Christian, don't act like a man. Don't ruffle anybody's feathers. Don't mess up no stuff. We won't take a risk because if you take too big a stance on anything or you flex your spiritual muscles too much, you could lose your job or not be able to feed your family, whatever it is. That's a lie from the pit of hell because when I got born again, I was absolutely certain that it was happy hour that kept me employed. And I was good at it, so I had a lot of employment. Now I get born again, and happy hour is not any fun. It's happy day. I'm pretty sure I'm fixing to lose the whole shebang. And you know what the Lord showed me? You're not going anywhere till I say it's time to go somewhere. You're created on purpose for a purpose. Sanctified.
Well, that concludes our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.